talking all the overnight action.
Another one for Gay Waterhouse.
He kicked it!
So go all the way!
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Okay, welcome back to the show. We just had the great Ray Price, and Dino made mention of that phenomenal 82 Kangaroo Tour when the Australian team went through undefeated. The captain of that team, and indeed the captain of Manly during that golden era, was Max Krulwich. He's on the line. Max, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Max. We just listened to Ray Price. Just firstly, that phenomenal Kangaroo Tour of 82. Did you get a feeling during the course of that tour that you're on the cusp of something very, very special and could indeed go through the entire tour unbeaten?
Look, it was very hard, Ray, because at the start, the side was unheralded as, you know, totally people didn't think we were a very good side because we had all these 20-year-olds in our side, like Kenny and Sterling and Ella and guys like that. And no one ever heard of these people, and even Wally Lewis. Now, Wally Lewis couldn't get a start in front of Brett Kenny, so just goes to show you how good Brett Kenny was on that tour. We had a fantastic tour, and guys like my very good mate, Rocket Reddy and Craig Young, they were instrumental in us winning because Rocket brought that really tough, niggling all the pommies. They couldn't handle poor old Rocket. You know, he was unbelievable.
And Les Boyd.
And Boyd, yeah. Well, Boyd was on the violent side where Rocket was on the niggle side. So Les used to get himself set off, but Rocket always had a laugh on his face while we were getting penalties because the pommies would fight back and they didn't know what was going on, the poor pommies.
Max, this afternoon, full house, yeah. Combank Stadium, Manly v Para. The history goes back many years, but of course the 80s, the two teams were synonymous with their clashes throughout the golden eras. What did you make when you played Para? Why were they so difficult? And who was the player you most respected from the Eels?
Well, if you don't mind me, I started playing against Para in 1969, was my first game as a kid. And you wouldn't believe it, I played in the reserve grade game with Zorba.
Okay.
And Zorba that day played third grade, reserve grade and first grade because he sat on the bench. But I, in my first reserve grade game for Manly, was against Para and I got sent off for fighting. So, after that game, Ronnie Willie McKay said, you're always going to be in my side, Simon, because I like the way you handle yourself.
Now, Max, Zorba on this show a few months ago bagged your coaching, remember it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now's your chance to fire one back. What was he like as a player?
Oh, very ordinary.
He'll be listening, Max.
15 all.
He'll be listening.
You've never seen a Greek who can play rugby league. They can play soccer, but not rugby league. No, they can even play tennis a little bit, some of those guys, but no, not rugby league. So I was way down the list. He was lucky. He was lucky he had Bozo alongside him and Malcolm Reilly, because he used to hide behind Malcolm Reilly, by
the
way.
Did he just?
Oh, Malcolm was terrifying everybody, and Zorba was standing behind him going, go get him, Malcolm, go get him, Malcolm.
That sounds like Zorba.
Talk about tough players.
That is Zorba, yeah. Don't worry about that.
Talk about tough players. You touched on one there, Maxie. Malcolm, really, they don't come any tougher, do they?
No, well, with his toughness, he was a very violent footballer in the days when violence was part of the makeup of a rugby league team. And Manly lost a lot of grand finals in that early era because we didn't have that certain toughness about us. Mm. So Ken Arco went out and bought Malcolm, John O'Neill, Ray Brannigan, Bobby Moses, a few of the South guys to strengthen our squad up because at that time, you know, we got beaten in grand finals. So he went and got Malcolm, who was then a 21-year-old guy who'd only played rugby league for about two seasons, and he was instrumental in us winning the comp because we had Bozo there as well, who, as you know, who isn't immortal, was a fantastic player. So, and we had the makeup then of Graham Meade and Terry Randall, guys like that, and complemented by the ruthlessness of Malcolm. So it really went well. You know, that's what made us into a winning club.
Max, I don't want to divert too much, but I do want to ask you a question. In the 70s and early 80s, Manly v Wests, Vibro's Silvertails, you used to go to Lidcombe Oval, and it was a bloodbath. It was on, and the Magpies before the game would be banging on the lockers, name-dropping Manly players. They were frightening days, Max. Did Manly get intimidated by Western Suburbs in those days, or did you guys go, okay, they can fight, we'll play footy?
Oh, basically, Doug, that's how it was. We let them put the blue on, and then in a lot of ways we couldn't handle them the right way because they would fight and keep going. But then if we turned the tables on them. We got the Brookvale Oval, and actually we smacked them a few times down Brookvale by us putting the when Les Boyd came and joined Manly from Western Suburbs, he brought that unrelenting toughness or madness, you could say, with Les into our team, and we turned the tables on them. In fact, they were they were really shell shocked at how we approached that game. And a number of guys got set off. Steve Knight, I got flattened by John Donnelly. King hit from behind, went down like a big bag. And Steve Knight come out of the top of him, punched the living hell out of John Donnelly. Then those two got set off. And Ian Thompson gave someone a hiding as well. So that was the good old days, though.
Max, it's funny, though, because West were known as being tough and Manly were allegedly softer. But it wasn't true. Manly are as tough as anybody back in those days.
Terry Randall calling soft.
Yeah, oh, gee. Yeah.
Eagle was a leader without being a leader. He just led the way and we followed Eagle. Although I was the captain in those days, after Bowes, Eagle led the way through his how he used to play the game and we followed Terry. He was just a great front man and played the game ruthlessly. Sometimes very close to the edge. He wouldn't survive today.
None of you would.
None of us would. Yeah, but particularly Rod Reddy, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. Les Boyd, you know, all those guys wouldn't. They'd last 1 week. In fact, one of my irks about the modern day of rugby league is how a bloke might get a little bit of a whack and, you know, and they stand there and they play the ball. They're waiting for the referee or that idiot thing they call a bunker to intervene.
To check the tackle.
It's a dire thing on the game of rugby league, how they get up. And I was talking to Don McKinnon yesterday and we're talking about certain things. He said, the worst thing you would ever show is where you're hurt. Mm. And these guys want to look like they're hurt. Well, they make my blood boil. Because the last thing you want to show is that you are hurt. You know, you'll stand up and be counted. Don't cry off like a baby. And most of them cry off like babies. Although they are fantastic footballers, it's a bad detriment to the game is how they carry on.
Yeah, different eras, isn't it? Can I take you back to those 82, 83 grand finals? 1982, yeah. Parramatta 21-8, 1983, Parramatta 18-6. To be fair, Manly had terrific football teams in both years. What was it about those grand finals? What was it about Parramatta?
Well, it took them a long time. Remember, go back to 76 when we yep. won the comp. They had a street march before the grand final, and we heard about that, and we rubbed their noses in it. So then it took them about another 5 or 6 years to 81 and 82 and 83, they won grand finals. So, and they were a fantastic team. Although we sort of had the wood over them during the year, when I got to the grand final, they beat us quite convincingly, both games, 82 and 83. Mm. So I've got to say, but what happens then? They go to 1986, they win another competition, and they've won nothing since. Haven't they learnt? They haven't learnt.
That's a shot across the bow, Max.
That's a big shot because, to be very honest, from a terrific club like Parramatta, they can't win. They can't win. A couple of years ago, they had a go against Penrith. They lost quite easily. But, you know, it's a shame because if you've got a strong Parramatta club, it's like a strong South Sydney club, the competition's going great. And I'd like to see them go well, but not that well too, by the way. But I'd have to say Parramatta have to pick up their pieces because 1986 to 2024 is a long time.
Yeah, it's too long. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I can tell because my wife's always on my case about Parramatta's losing streak. She wants it to be over. But what about this afternoon? Max, Manly take on the Eels at CommBank. They're 2-0. The Seagulls off to a good start. This is going to be a cracking game.
Well, it will be. I was over in Vegas with your little mate, the dog there, and my wife and my lovely Irene. We're all there together. And I've got to tell you, after being with the coaches for a number of days and watching the team train and going to all their sessions, and going to coaching sessions, I'm so convinced that Seabolt and our guys Jimmy Dimmick and Stephen Harris doing a fantastic job down Manly. It's a different breed of coaching. We've gotten rid of the old screaming and yelling that used to be there. And now we've got a bloke who really knows how to put all the pieces in the right places. He's a very, very, very good coach, Seabolt. And I've got to tell you, I can honestly see us going very well this year. Now, that's also including that young Brooks. What a player he is. Mm. It's about time he got out of that hole over there at Leichhardt and come to a decent club. And I actually spoke to him about that. He said, I'm so happy to be here. And Nathan Brown, there's another one. I had to give Nathan Brown his first jersey. He played primarily over there in Vegas. And he said, I'm so happy to be here. The camaraderie, how everything's going, how everybody's treated. Everybody's allowed to have their peace. They have their talk about certain things like it never used to be like that. And it's a different environment down there. Everybody's happy, which is a great thing.
Geez, you're on fire, Max. You've bagged the Eels. You've bagged the Tigers. Who else is next?
Well, I didn't bag the Tigers.
You just said get out of that hole.
Well, that was a hole. Now we're at the now we're at the Coruscant. One of my favourite players that played rugby league.
He was good last night.
He's good every week, Happy. I got a lot of time for Happy. Yeah. Particularly when he was at Manly.
Exactly.
No, they're going to go places. That's going to take them a while. I still don't think they've got a terrific forward back, you know, with Appy, but Appy leading the way, anything could happen.
Hey, Max, I'm still searching for dirt on Dino from Vegas. Surely there's something. You can give us something.
He was hiding in closets and hanging around the back rooms and sniffing out any little information he could, but he was good. No, he's a good man, old Dino.
So we go to the foyer one. Now, there's Max.
One thing is, you can trust me. You know, some of the others, you can't.
Oh, I take that as a compliment. Thanks, Thrower.
So good idea, mate.
I go down to the foyer, and there's Max. What's Max doing here? He can find a trip, Max. If there's a journey that Manly are on, Max will be there. You're unbelievable.
Ira and I were holding hands and having the best time of our life, and all because of Shore and Partners, our sponsors, major sponsors of Manly. They invited Lauren and I on this fantastic voyage over to Vegas. And I've got to tell you, unless you've been there in the modern era, which I've been there a few times, it is unbelievable. And that stadium we went to, the whole charisma of the Vegas thing. Whoever goes next year, you want to make sure you go.
It was very special, wasn't it, Max? It was a special couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Finally, Max, why does your Manly Sea Eagles win this afternoon?
Well, mainly, we've got a few players, and I think Lachlan Croker, he's very much underrated as a player. Now they're giving him 20 minutes off during the course of the game, and his defence is so strong, with Jake Trbojevic, so strong in the middle. And probably with Luke Brooks. Now, Cherry doesn't have to win us games anymore because we've got Luke Brooks alongside him. And even as Tom Trbojevic doesn't have to win us games because we've got Luke Brooks there. So it's now more even across the field rather than one or two people have to win us games. And I've got a high opinion also of how they're coached and a high opinion of the players. You know, they're a very good bunch of fellas, which I got to... That Nathan Brown, I actually spoke when I gave him his jersey. He would have been good to play with in the 1970s with me because that's the sort of play. Yeah. But he's defined his game now. I bet he's not doing some of the things he used to do. So, no, I've got a lot of time for Nathan. He'll be playing against his old club, so he might be going out to settle a few issues this afternoon. Just hope he keeps on the straight and narrow. That's all.
You know the best thing about Max, apart from his football ability, his lovely wife, Irene. Lovely lady. Lovely lady. You are batting overs there, Thrower.
Yeah, she's good sometimes. Her and Ollie. If it wasn't for her and Ollie, I don't know where I'd be. I'd be on the golf course somewhere. So
Ollie's a dog.
Can I tell you something about Parramatta? I've got a fantastic association with a number of their players, particularly Brett Kenny. He and I have been close mates for a long time, and Peter Sterling. I played golf with Sterling only a couple of weeks ago, and I got to tell you, they weren't just champion footballers, so champion guys. And those two guys, and Ray, even poor old Ray, Ray cost a bit of a hammering by a lot of the people, but I'll tell you what, he's a good fellow, Ray, kind-hearted. But Sterling and Kenny, you're talking about the next immortal. I would also go down the track of Brett Kenny, Ronnie Coote, and listen, the greatest try scorer of all time, Ken Irvine. If he was playing in today's games, he would have scored 350 tries, not 215, with no corner posts. And he played with that low team, North Sydney, for all those years.
There's another one.
Oh, what a low bunch they were. They came last twice as the leading try scorer. So how good was Ken Irvine? So I would think those three, Ken Irvine, Brett Kenny, and Ronnie Cook, should be the next immortals.
A lot of people agree with you, Max. Hey, look, Max, it's been an honour to have you on the show. Really appreciate it. Best of luck with your Seagulls this afternoon, and thanks for coming on the show on a Sunday morning.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks, dog. See you later.
See you, pal.
There's Max Kulwich.